Welcome to a What's Up Welland, where we get to chat with Fire Chief Adam Eckhart about firework safety. When it comes to anything fire related, there is no one better to chat with than the men or women of our Welland Fire and Emergency Services to get their input, feedback, suggestions on how to, as residents, as citizens, best handle ourselves or best handle the situations we're in safely. And today we are specifically talking about fireworks. It's just before a long weekend. So let's get started with Chief Eckhart on what we should, shouldn't do, when we should, shouldn't light fireworks off. So joining us today for a very timely conversation as we head into a long weekend, we're going to talk firework safety, and who better to talk about that with than our own fire chief, Adam Eckhart. Adam, this is your second, maybe third time back to the show. Thanks so much for coming on to talk about, at this time of year, people want to be out, people may want to be lighting things up, setting things off in the air. You're the best person to tell us. Should they, shouldn't they? Safety, everything around it. Thank you. Let's get talking.
Right on. Thanks for having me, Paul. It's great to be here and great to be messaging out to our community about fireworks.
So ahead of a long weekend, ahead of any weekends in a year when fireworks may be something that people want to play is not the right word, light off. What are some recommendations in that lens of fire safety that people should have top of mind when they're playing with something that is that is an explosive?
So the first and foremost, to do it so in safe conditions, overall general format. So away from buildings, away from structures, combustibles, by a competent adult with a safe buffer. So, you know, we don't want to be huddled around the area where they're being lit. You want to be back so you can enjoy them a little more and give yourself a little safety distancing from those. We want to have a safe area to do that, you know, whether it be a bucket of sand, you know, or somewhere where you can ensure that the fireworks are stable before you ignite them, as well as, you know, considering the wind direction and fallout and those types of safety precautions.
With regards to the handling of fireworks, Chief, when you hear the word fireworks, who do you associate with this person, this age, should be handling them? No questions asked.
That's a great question, a good distinguishment. So I know many people of all ages enjoy fireworks, and there are also people of all ages who don't. But saying that, you want to be a competent adult with good sound judgment, not under the influence of substances or alcohol or otherwise that may impair your judgment. And you want to do so in a controlled environment, ensure people that are at the event, you know, your family or your guests that are there, to make sure they're aware of it and that they don't have any objections to it. Sound can be very concerning for others. So you want to be, cognizant of the safety stuff we talked about. You want to have an ability to extinguish it. And you want to have somebody who's competent controlling the ignition and the timing of the fireworks and, you know, have a degree of seriousness. There's a lot of damage that a firework can do.
With regards to the ability to, control it, or you are dealing with fire, is a garden hose sufficient? Is a bucket of water sufficient? Should sand be used? Are there certain things that, yes, to have nearby on hand, but are there certain things that work better than others? That if you had a bit of a shopping list, go in this order of what is most effective?
I think first and foremost, it's a complete system. So you want to think about how you're setting up the firework. You know, like I say, you put in a pile of sand as a base, make sure it's securely in that before you begin to light it. Don't hold it or any of that. You want to have a secure area to position it with a fallout zone, not under a tree, away from buildings, away from people. And then when it's been discharged, you want to then, with a gloved hand, control the fireworks, put it into a bucket of water. You also want a hose nearby in the event that it does cause something unwanted or unwelcome, or, you know, causes you difficulties with grass or otherwise. You want to be able to cool the area. And I recommend doing that ahead of time. One, to make sure your hose reaches the area you want it to. And if you dampen down the area, it'll be less likely that if something does fall out on the grass, you're going to do less damage to your own personal property or perhaps the neighboring properties.
So when I hear the word fireworks, I immediately go to that which is lit on the ground and you see up in the sky above you, colorful, loud, bright. But in that world of fire, lighting things up that are something of an amusement, sparklers, to my thinking, fits into that world. And I know that we've got information on our website about sparklers and the handling of, especially for children. In your experience, in your role as someone who sees fire differently and sees the safety precautions around fire, what would you say to parents once those sparklers are handed out to kids before they are lit? What is that piece parents should know about, guardians should know about before kids get something in their hand that is lit?
There's a lot to think about with sparklers, especially the age of the person holding it. Again, you want to have a competent adult supervising every child who is working a sparkler. Have a way of extinguishing it, a bucket of water, a concrete patio or whatnot to put it down in the event of an emergency. Wet the area, like we talked about. If a sparkler does drop, it doesn't cause property damage or otherwise. And you want to make sure that the children or the users of sparklers are farther away from one another, that as the sparkler burns down, they recognize that there still may be a couple feet of hot metal that extends past where that display is actually showing. So you want to make them aware of that. You want to give them directions before you light it to separate from one another and how and where to handle it and extinguish it when it's complete.
So I said at the start, this is a very timely episode. We are heading into a long weekend. Because this is a long weekend, here in the city of Welland, is the August long weekend a time when people are able to set fireworks off? Are there certain times of the year in our municipality that you are and are not allowed to have as a, in a neighborhood, in your backyard? Are there times of the year when you are and are not allowed to be doing fireworks?
So our bylaw established in 2003 prohibits fireworks on this coming weekend and only permits fireworks on the 3 days preceding Victoria Day and Canada Day. So we only permit backyard fireworks on those dates, so approximately 6 days a year. And any other time fireworks are used on personal property would be a violation of that bylaw. So fireworks cannot be used this weekend or any other weekends except the Victoria and Canada Day weekends in Welland.
Now, that bylaw, I just want to clarify, that bylaw exists. That bylaw covers personal property. If the city of Welland, if a public host is putting on a fireworks display, people can attend that. This applies to your backyard, your neighbor's backyard, the court at the end of your street. That's what we are talking about when we say this is not a weekend for consumer or personal fireworks, correct?
Yes. So residential or retail fireworks, let's call them that. You know, the store-bought fireworks are very different than the consumer commercial fireworks, or pardon me, commercial fireworks, which require a fire safety plan, prior approval, and a qualified person to detonate them. There's actually licensing that involves and insurance. So when you look at these large displays that the city's gracious enough to put on, and we saw at the Float Fest have at the end of it, and other events in the community where we see these great displays, that's a qualified, competent person. A business does that, is licensed and qualified to do that. And they do an outstanding job of it and consider fire safety with a number of conditions, including the wind, weather, the humidity, the fallout zone, the distance to the audience. And they have a pile of safety training as well as the safety measures in place. So very different than the retail fireworks that you bring home, sometimes referred to as consumer fireworks, that you bring them home and you light them in your backyard. Seeing that, the rules for the big display fireworks are limited to those who are qualified, authorized under the same bylaw, but with a number of regulations in place, including inspection and fire safety, including fees, as well as fire safety inspections of the property and their fire safety plan. So looking at it differently, bringing home fireworks that you bought at a retail store, at the supermarket or a local vendor, and bringing those home, they're less significant, there's less charge, there's less concern, less hazard, but that's not to say that they're not hazardous or can't cause bodily injury or damage to property.
So this is not a weekend when neighborhoods are going to be lighting things up in people's backyards. If there is someone who is aware of consumer retail fireworks being used safely or unsafely. There's a bylaw. What should people do? Do you have advice on A, what someone should do, B, what that contact looks like and sounds like?
For sure. So if you're concerned about the method that people are using to light fireworks on the 6 days it's permitted, or at any other time fireworks are being displayed in the city, you can call 911. It's a anonymous call. Your name and contact information isn't forwarded. The person we respond to and speak to about fireworks will not know it's you that called or otherwise. We attend non-emergency, and it depends on our capacity. If, you know, we have multiple other calls at the time or you know, for other ways, our response may be delayed. But seeing that, we have a timely response to go out, speak to the homeowner, talk them through fire safety, and ask them to cease and desist. There are penalties up to including, $5,000 fines. There's provincial offenses, violations, as well as fees and charges that could relate to that. So we generally get good compliance when we meet with the homeowner and ask them to stop. And, you know, we could take that as an opportunity to educate them and explain to them what requirements are, when they're permitted and not. I think, you know, we've seen a number of our people in the community who, although they're disappointed, they also respect that, you know, these are our rules. And, you know, this is trying to find the balance between those that want to enjoy fireworks and the other people who don't enjoy fireworks. So seeing that, anybody who is concerned about their neighborhood fireworks, you don't need a specific address, although that's helpful. And you call 911, ask for the fire department dispatch, and just report that somebody's igniting fireworks and you're concerned about the fact that they're lighting those fireworks off, and give us as much information as they can, and we'll respond no charge to you and likely no charge to the homeowner. We just like to attend and, you know, take that opportunity to educate them and ask for their assistance, ask them to stop lighting those fireworks.
Chief, I mean, this was a very hyper-focused episode on firework safety. You brought a lot of great information. Thank you. Is there anything I did not think to ask? Is there anything last we should touch on before we wrap up and before we look forward to our respective long weekends?
So the last piece is the time. So our bylaw allows dusk till 11 p.m. So I recognize that most fireworks, are entertaining our young folks, and that's probably past their bedtime. But we do experience a number of calls beyond 11 p.m. And we ask that people, you know, be respectful, find that balance of being a good neighbor and being entertained and having some enjoyment, in those 6 permitted days, those 2 long weekends in the year. So I appreciate you focusing some time and attention on this and bringing awareness to it. We see a number of people enjoying the fireworks, and we hope that they continue to do so safely.
Chief Eckhart, thank you very much for today's information, for today's episode. And thank you for the work you, your staff, Welland Fire and Emergency Services does for everyone here in the city of Welland.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
As always, thank you, Fire Chief Eckhart, for taking time out of your day to come chat with us about fire safety, and in this case, especially fireworks safety. You, the team that you have on Welland Fire and Emergency Services, do what you can to keep our community safe. And in this instance, learning more about fireworks, the safe handling, the where to do it, the how to do it, the when to do it. In the city of Welland, 6 days out of the year, the weekend we are heading into is not one of those times. Sharing this information with us on the podcast, then by extension with our community, it helps keeps us safe. It helps keeps us following those rules that A, don't get us into trouble, B, don't put us in situations that that risk our safety and the safety of others. So with regards to all things fireworks, this was a great episode to listen to learn from. For past episodes about anything fire related, visit engagewelland.ca/podcast. We've had some great conversations with the chief, with Michael Atkins, about other ideas to know and follow with regards to fire safety. All of our future episodes are going to be found there. So keep joining us for the rest of the year as we get other great guests talking about their great areas of subject expertise.